Good evening, beloved. You're warmly welcome to today's broadcast. I trust you're keeping warm. Today, we are honored to have God's servant and our Papa, Apostle Bendoko, General Overseer of Overcomers Family Chapel. And he'll be ministering on walking in the Spirit. Stay tuned. I trust you'll be blessed.
Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a wave offering. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to bow down your heads and let's pray. Abba Father, we are grateful to you for another time. It's a beautiful time in your presence. Every time is beautiful when we come into your presence. And we are grateful to you for ordering our steps once again to be taught by the Holy Ghost. We pray that, Lord, you will teach us the mysteries of your kingdom. You open our eyes to see things that are hidden. And Lord, you give us the grace to be able to live by these principles. We bless you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the Bible declares that the servant who knows his master's will and does not prepare himself to do shall be beaten with many blows or with many lashes. It's one thing to know your master's will, and it's another thing to prepare to do. Knowing what God requires of you is not enough. Preparing yourself to do is very, very crucial. The servant who knows his master's will and does not prepare himself to do. There are two ways you can prepare yourself to do what you've been committed or called or created to do. One, you prepare yourself by studying. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman who needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So study is one of the ways to prepare yourself to do what you have been created for. The second thing is servitude. Servitude, where you serve. Serving is part of the requirement for greatness. You cannot be great if you have never served. Nobody qualified to be served until he has first served. If you are not a student, you can never be a teacher. So before you can be a teacher, you must once be a student. You want to be a master, you need to serve. You must be a servant. So to be able to fulfill the reason why God called you, two important requirements. Requirement number one, steady to show yourself approved to God. Steady. Spend time in God's presence with his word. Read and study. And then number two, servitude, where you are busy in the house of God. The zeal of God's house must consume you. Serving is not a waste of time. It is the fulfillment of a requirement for the next level in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, we'll be looking at a very interesting topic in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. And our topic for tonight, Bible studies, is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that you would. Move it on to 18. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against... Okay. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now let's start all over again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Walk in the Spirit so you not fulfill the desire of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? When the Bible says the believer must walk in the Spirit, what is it? Now, walking in the Spirit is the realm that the saints operate. It's the atmosphere of the saints. If you're a child of God, you are born again, that is your realm. We do not walk in the flesh, we walk in the Spirit. Once you are born again, you are required to walk in the Spirit. Just like a fish is required or created to live in the water, the believer is born again to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because God is a Spirit, and it is through the Spirit that we connect to him. If God is a Spirit, then you cannot walk in the flesh and connect to him. He's a Spirit. And because he's a Spirit, he's your Father. And so you need to be in the same wavelength, the same frequency, in order to connect easily with him. So whilst God is in the Spirit, you cannot dwell in the flesh and then connect with him. So a believer, a born again child of God, have no choice than to walk in the spirit. Under the old covenant, the Bible says something in the book of Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High under the old covenant was the holiest of holies, where not even every priest have access to. Amen. It is the high priest. And even before the high priest gets there, he must go through processes of sanctification in order to be sure that there was no trace of sin before he can enter there. The holiest of holies is a secret place. It's a solitary place. It's a substitute. A place where it's you and God. You and God. There's nobody else. It is you and God. The very presence of God. It is what the Bible calls the secret place. And guess what? It is the spirit. When you walk in the spirit, you are walking in the secret place. But you see, the Bible didn't say that we should even walk around in the secret place. He that dwell, the believer's dwelling place is the secret place. That's where you must live. You don't go and come. You live there. You stay in God's presence. That is the reason why the greatest mistake that Adam did was not because he disobeyed. The greatest mistake that Adam did was because he left the presence of God. When fish leaves the water, that's his greatest mistake. The greatest mistake of every fish is to leave the water. Once he leaves the water, he may not survive. He was created to dwell in water. Once he leaves the water, he may suffocate to death. So once a believer moves out of the spirit and start walking in the flesh, he's on his path of dying. To be carnally minded is death. Is that what the Bible says? But to be spiritual minded is what? Life and peace. So once you walk out of the spirit, you are on the path of death. Your life begins in the spirit. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place is the presence of God. It's the place where you have fellowship with the Father. And that is the realms of the spirit. That is where you were created to live. That's where you are supposed to dwell. When you start walking carnally, you are going to die. Yes, when you move out of the spirit and start living carnally, you will die. You will die. Amen. So the Bible says something in the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to look at verse 12 and verse 15, verse 14. We used to be in a particular realm before we were born again. We as Christians, we used to live in darkness. That is where we dwell. Every sinner, it lives in darkness. Before you were born again, that is where we were before you were born again. Hello. But then the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2, please, when I mention, listen to me. Chapter 2, yes, chapter 2. I say verse 12, eh? Is that what you, is there? Okay, now look at it. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the appellation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now move it on, verse 13. And you, look at it, and you being dead, you see now, in sin. Being dead in sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Then go to verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So this was our state before we became born again. We were dead in trespass. We were living in sin. We were operating in the realms of darkness before you became born again. Now, when you became born again, he has quickened you now. You were dead, but now you were quickened. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So now in the book of, so when you study, go again, this Colossians chapter 2, okay, verse 15 say, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Continue for me. Let's go to verse 16. Let's see. And let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon. So he was talking about our state before we met Christ. Dead in sin, dead in trespass, living in darkness. But when you became born again, you were translated from darkness to light. There was a transition that took place. Light flooded into where you were living. And then by supernatural means, you were taken from that kingdom. And now you are placed in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light is the spirit, is the realms of the spirit, not the realm of the flesh. And that is where you are supposed to stay. That is where, because you have been delivered, you were delivered from darkness to light. And I'll explain as we move forward further to show you what God has done for you and where your present state, your previous state and your present state now as a child of God. So you are not what you used to be. And you are not where you used to be as a child of God. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, there have been an operation where immediately you were delivered from the power of darkness and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the kingdom of light. So you are not praying in the kingdom of darkness anymore. We are in the kingdom of light. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want us to look at verse 9. So, transfer from darkness to light when we came to Christ. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but ye, you see now, but ye are a chosen generation. You are not an ordinary person. Amen. Now, when we say something is chosen, it means that there are preferences, okay? And you were the one that were preferred above the rest. There was a sorting out, a selection, and a final decision was made on you. That's what it means, chosen. So, there have been many, many generations, but God chose us. So, every child of God at the church is a chosen generation. We are a kingdom within a kingdom. We are a nation within nations. The church, chosen generation. We are not ordinary people, chosen generation. Then the Bible said, number two, you are a royal priesthood. Until you begin to see yourself in this light, you will begin to live like the world or your former state. Go back to live like you used to live. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, not a common priest, a royal priest, a royal priesthood. They are type of priesthood. We have the commoners, the common priesthood, and we have royalty. So a child of God is a royal priesthood, a member of a royal priesthood. And then number three, it said a holy nation. So we are supposed to be different. If you are a member of this group, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, why can somebody who believe who belong to a holy nation be practicing with an unholy nation and be living a lifestyle of an unholy nation? The church is a holy nation. If you are a member of a church, you are a holy nation. And then the Bible said, a peculiar people, different speeches, different brand. We are not like them. Peculiar people. Hallelujah. Can you put your hand and say, I'm a peculiar person. Say it again. Yes. Different species. When you became born again, this is what you got. So you cannot now begin to operate like an ordinary part of the generations, untoward generation, this untoward generation. You cannot operate like them anymore. You cannot begin to operate like a common person. You are a royal priesthood. And then also a holy nation and a peculiar person, a unique person. The accounts will say, Udansu. Eh? Is that what they say? Udansu. You are not like them. And this is what happened when we become born again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to write all these scriptures down because I'm bringing you gradually to a point. I'm building you to a place. Verse 1 to verse 6. Now, look at what the Bible says. And you had he quickened. So these are all telling us of our former state. He has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So before we met Christ in our state, we were dead people. Now, do you know that there are three different kinds of death? The spiritual death, the physical death, and the internal death. What is death? Death by definition is not just a cessation of life, but death also is separation. Anytime you talk about death, all that it entails is separation. So spiritual death is a man whose life is separated from God. Once you are disconnected from God, you are dead. Because God is the source of life. And so once you disconnect from him, you are dead. And that is the reason why when Jesus was giving the parable of the prodigal son, okay, he said that your brother was dead. He said your brother was dead, but now he's what? He's alive. Why? How did he die? Because he left home. Anytime you left home, you separate from God. Once the principle of separation is in place, you are dead. Death is simply separation. So a Christian who has separated from God is dead. An unbeliever who is separated from God is dead. And so there are people today who are walking, but they are dead. Why? Because they've separated from God, separated from the life of God. And once they do not have the life of God, they may be surviving and existing, but they have no life. They are dead. And that's what he was talking about. In time past, we were dead, but he quickened us. He brought us closer, and we got connected to life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so Now, that is the first death. The second death is the physical death that we know, where the soul is separated from the body. Once the soul is separated from the body, we say the person is dead physically. And that is what we are used to, because we see it every day. We attend funerals, and somebody that we used to know now is lifeless. He can't talk anymore. So we say, oh, he's dead. Now, why did we say he's dead? Because his soul is separated. So it's about separation. Then we have internal death. Internal death is where a soul is separated from God internally. And that is what we call hell, or the lake of fire. And this will happen in the last days. Praise the name of the Lord. So the unbeliever is dead physically. He's dead spiritually, and he will die physically, and finally he will die eternally. Amen. So how many times of death? Three. So those who have not given their life to Christ, they will die how many times? Three times. And those who give their life to Christ, they will die how many times? Once. Can we say it again? Those who have not given their life to Christ, how many times will they die? Three times. They've died already spiritually. Physically, they will die eventually with the lot of every human being, and finally they will die in hell, in the lake of fire. But if you give your life to Christ, the first death, you've conquered it, and you are quickened, you are alive now. But if Jesus tarries, you may die physically, but you won't die internal death. So you die only once. So when you give your life to Christ, you die once. And if you reject Christ, you die three thrice. You see the state of the unsaved, dangerous state. Amen. Now look at it now. So the Bible says, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world. You see now, we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now stay there. So here, look at the name of the spirit controlling an unbeliever. The name of the spirit is called the prince of the power of the air. The reason why you see somebody who's not born again almost go naked and is not ashamed is because he's under the control of a spirit called the prince of the power of the air. Somebody may be drinking, and even though he has been warned by the doctor that this thing will kill you, this thing is going to kill you if you don't stop, and still the next time you wake up, he will still drink, even though he knows that he's going to die. Why? It's because he's not being controlled by himself. He's not controlling himself. There is an external force that is controlling him, and that force is a spirit by the name of what? The prince of the power of the air. You see, someone is smoking. Even doctors, they will tell you that when you smoke, you will die. But haven't you seen doctors smoking? Why? Because it's the spirit that is controlling. They know they are going to die. They wish they could stop, but they could not stop. Why? Because there is an external force that is a spirit that is controlling them, and the name of that spirit is the prince of the power of the air. When you became born again, you were delivered from his hands, and that prince has no power over you anymore. He can't control it. The believer must not be addicted to anything because you have been delivered. There are so many things that you... This series will travel for maybe 6 weeks. And so there are things that you must learn. Don't miss this series. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's continue. So, wherein in the time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Then look at the Bible and say, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. So when the spirit of the prince of the power of the air is controlling you, you will walk in what? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. You will be a slave to your flesh. You will be a slave of lust. Lust. He uses lust to control his victims, his subjects. And the Bible says, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. He forces you to fulfill the desire of the flesh. You can't say no. You knew you this thing can kill me, but you can't say no. Why? Because there is an external master that is telling you you ought to do it, and you must do it. You can't say no. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. The children of this world are miserable. We judge them. We judge them because we don't know their true state. You judge them. You insult them. Who told you that they don't want to become like you? Who told you? They wish they have the liberty to say no. But they can't say no. Their master will not permit them to say no. They are slaves to lust. And you used to be there. You know what it is. Some of us, you know what it is. Even as I started talking now, you started thinking of something else. Something that used to hold you captive. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible said, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so that's what we were. By nature, we were the children of wrath. Now continue. The Bible said, but God in his rich, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Rich mercy. Even when we were dead. You see now, the word dead means we're separated in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. So he brought us together. That's why we have life. When we went far away, we die. But when he brought us together, we get connected. And then his life began to flow through us. And so we have been quickened in Christ Jesus. By grace are he saved. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this is where we are coming from. And this was our true state. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So once upon a time, we were all slaves, okay? And we were under the influence of the prince of the power of darkness, or prince of the power of the air. Amen. So all wicked men are slaves to Satan. The carnal mind makes a perfect slave to his appetite. The carnal mind makes you a perfect slave to your appetite. The devil controls you through your mind, and then he makes you a perfect slave to your appetite. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 16, how does people become slaves to sin? Look at what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, one thing that we need to understand, we have been redeemed, we have been delivered, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to light, but we can still become a slave if we choose. Now, how would that happen? God doesn't impose on our will. God never imposed on our will. Now, God does not force you to do things. It is Satan that forces his people. God doesn't. He has given everybody the power of choice. So you can decide, I want to serve God or I won't serve God. You can choose to say, okay, I want Jesus to be my Lord, or I don't want him to be my Lord. It's a choice. And that's why there's judgment. Because if God has not given us choice, he has no right to judge us. If we have no choice, there was no going to be judgment. If God have to force everybody to live right, there will never be judgment. The reason why there's going to be judgment is because there is a power of choice. So now this is what he's saying here. So you are born again. Now the question here is now not the devil controlling you anymore. You are not going to be controlled by Satan. Satan have no power over the child of God anymore. He can't force you to do things. So when a child of God does something and then he says the devil, lie. Lie. When the Satan came to the light to tempt you to sin, I want to show you why believers sin. Now look at it. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield. Everybody say the word yield. Say it again. The word yield is very important. Yield is why people live righteous or sin. That's the word yield. And that one is in the power of your choice. It's within the power of your choice. You decide whom you want to yield to. So now you decide, I want to yield to God or I want to yield to the devil. So Satan will tempt you. Even Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Everybody under the sun will be tempted. If Jesus was tempted, he was not afraid to tempt Jesus. Who are you? But the difference between Jesus not sinning and we sinning under temptation is because Jesus refused to yield. Hello? Now, so look at the Bible say, it said, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are. So if you yield yourself to commit sin, you become the devil's servant. If you yield yourself to righteousness, you become the servant of God. That's simple. So it's not because you have not been, it's not because you are still in darkness. You have been redeemed from darkness, but now you have the power of choice to either decide whom you yield to. And if you choose to yield to Christ, you are his servant. You yield to Satan, you are his servant, even though you claim you are a believer. And so there are many people in the church of God today who are servants of Satan, servants of sin, because they yield to sin. You understand it? Now, let's go over it again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servant he are, to whom ye obey. You see now, so the one you obey, you become his servant. The reason why Jesus refused to obey the instruction of Satan when he was asking him to turn ten stones into whatever, Jesus could have done that easily, but if Jesus has done it, he would have become the servant of Satan. Not that Jesus was afraid to do it, he could have done it. But because of this scripture, once you obey him, you become his servant. And that's why he refused to do it. He could have done that. He could have jumped. Of course, angels would have bear him up, but then he would have obeyed. Because it wasn't the Holy Ghost commanding him. It was Satan commanding him. And if he yielded to that commandment, he would have been a servant of Satan. And he refused to do so. May God give you grace to refuse to do so. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so he said, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So you either yield to sin, that will end you in death, or you yield to obey the Holy Ghost and then it will lead you to righteousness. You see now? So if you're a Christian and you are living wrongly, it's not because you don't have power over sin. It's because you made a choice. That's what it means. Because you are not like the unbeliever who will say, I have no choice. The unbeliever have no choice. He has a master who is forcing him to do something. But you have been redeemed from the dominion of that master. So now you have a choice to do what you are doing. So if you're a Christian, you're still keeping a girlfriend and living in sin. It's a choice you have made. It's a choice you have made. Not because you couldn't control yourself. It is because you have made a choice. And so you have deliberately submitted yourself to Satan as your master. Because you have yielded to him. Even though it started with a temptation, well, who never get tempted? Everybody gets tempted. But to whom you yield to, his servant you become. Hello, do you understand that? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to take note of that. Praise God. Amen. So the question is, who are you obeying? Who are you obeying? Now, there are antidotes or remedies from verse 11 of the same scripture, Romans chapter 6 to verse 14. What we must do to overcome sin now that we have been delivered so we can walk in the Spirit. Now, number one, likewise, reckon ye yourself also to be dead. The word reckon is very important. The first step, reckon. Everybody say reckon. The first step to walking in the Spirit is to do what? Reckon. Now the word reckon is what? Count. Count yourself to be what? Dead indeed to sin. You can never come out of sin until you see yourself as a dead person to sin. Now, does dead people respond? Hello? When you slap a dead man, will he reply you? What about when you insult him? Will he reply you? Are you sure? When you gossip about a dead man, will he fight back? Hello? How many of you have seen dead people fighting back? Hello? If dead people, do you know they are more than us? If they say they are going to fight us, nobody will stay here. Dead people don't fight back. So the first step in walking the Spirit is to count yourself dead. Count yourself dead. Somebody insults you, you don't mind him. They say you are a fool. No, it's because I'm dead. Because I'm dead. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I can't remember many years ago, a story was told us at around Awudome Cemetery there. A private car driver picked a lady, around that place. He saw the lady and the lady stopped him and he picked the lady. And while they were going out, the lady was a prostitute. And he was looking for market. He saw the posh car. He knew that it's a big market. And, as usual, while they were going, he started touching the man. He started touching the man while the man was driving. He was touching all the sensitive part of the man. The man was not minding him. And he was still driving. And he was touching him. The man was not minding him. He was still driving. And the woman was surprised. Why is this guy not reacting the way I was expecting? And so he looked at the man and he said, why are you not reacting? He said, because I'm a dead man. The woman said, well, I'll stop. Stop the car. I want to get down here. He thought he has met a ghost. He said, because I'm a dead man. Everything about me is dead. Nothing responds. He said, because I'm a dead man. He said, stop the car. He started screaming. He said, stop the car. I'll get down. Hey! The man stopped the car. He got down. And he came and gave a testimony. I'm a dead man. Nothing responds. You are not my wife. Nothing will respond to you. I'm dead to sin. I don't respond to temptation. I'm dead. So the first step in walking the Spirit is to count yourself dead. Say it again. Count yourself dead to sin. Always see yourself as a dead man. Somebody insults you, you want to retaliate. You see, they remember, hey, dead men don't fight. Dead women don't insult. Amen. I'm a dead man. So he said, count yourself, reckon yourself also what? Also, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when sin called you, you don't respond. But when Christ called you, you respond. You are alive to God, but you are dead to sin. Amen. Number two, if you want to walk in the Spirit, the second thing that you must do, and this is also very important, move on to verse 12. Then he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the last thereof. Now, don't permit sin to reign in your body. Don't entertain sin. Don't give sin permission to rule over you. It means that when you discover you have done something wrong, immediately repent from it and confess it. Don't allow sin to remain in your body. Don't allow. There are many people, Holy Ghost will remind you that what you did was wrong. You don't care. So you are living with besetting sins and you have a lot of unconfessed sins. You can't walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you say something, immediately there is something that the Holy Ghost prompts you, tells you wrong. You made a statement, then immediately you lose your joy. Holy Ghost is telling you wrong. It doesn't look harmful. So harmless statements, and yet you lose your joy, you lose your peace. You go to your bed, you start tossing. It's like you are bathed with your socks on and you don't feel good. The Holy Ghost is telling you wrong. You don't stay there. You immediately you repent. That is why how you walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit simply means allowing the guidance of the Holy Ghost, being under the influence of the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. So when the Holy Ghost prompts you of wrong, of error, of something you have done wrong, immediately you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. Do not allow sin to reign. Now, if you don't do that, sin will control you. And there are many Christians today, they are being controlled by sin. It's not the Holy Ghost who is ruling over them. It is sin ruling over them. So number one, count yourself dead. Number two, say no to the rulership of sin in my life. Sin will not control me. I'm not being controlled by the sin. I'm controlled by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I am led by the Spirit and not controlled by sin. Number three step that you need to take. Now let's go to verse 13. And this is very important. Neither yield he your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Your members, yield your members. It means that Satan cannot force you to slap somebody. If you slap somebody, you yield your members to him. You allow him. Satan can't take your hand to hit anybody. Hello. Now, when the Bible is talking of your members, it's talking about your body parts. Hello. For some of us, from head to our waist belongs to God. From our waist down belongs to ourselves. So God is not in full control. Temper. Okay, you have half, the devil have half. No, the Bible says, don't yield your members. So I will not allow Satan to use my mouth to gossip. Satan, you can't use my eyes to see things that I'm not supposed to see. And that's why Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I will not yield my members. If you are forcing me to look at something, Satan said, no, I refuse to look. That is what it means. I'm not yielding my members. Amen. Somebody provoked me. Satan said, slap me. Say, no, this is the Lord's instrument of righteousness. This are instruments of righteousness. I will not yield it to sin. My members are instruments of righteousness. So you are either yielding, you are either an instrument of righteousness or an instrument of unrighteousness. Your members can be used as an instrument of unrighteousness. Your mouth can be used as an instrument of unrighteousness. If you yield it to the enemy, he will use it. He will use your mouth. I have told God, this mouth will only preach the gospel. Instruments of righteousness. My members, my mouth is part of me. It's a part of my members. My thoughts are part of my members. They are not instruments of unrighteousness. So I don't allow negative thoughts in my mind. I don't allow that. I am an instrument of righteousness. Every part of me. So do not, that's number three, do not yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. But yield yourself unto God. You see now, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So you see, yielding your members to God, don't yield it as instruments of righteousness. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So this is number four step. And these are very important steps that we need to take. Amen. Amen. Now, three steps. Very important to walk out of the flesh and step into the realms of the Spirit. Now, I said three steps. No, let me give you one more so that we can have four steps. Amen. So, how do you know when someone is under the influence of the flesh? When he's living according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Now, number four, that is the final one. Expose the works of darkness. Expose the works of darkness. To be able to walk in the flesh, in the Spirit, you must learn to expose. You don't cover the works of darkness. You don't cover it. Now, Satan operates in darkness. Now, can I give you an example? Nowadays, I don't know whether these things still goes on, but you see some boyfriend and girlfriend in the corner doing their own thing, maybe kissing in the darkness. Now, when a car threw lights on them, what happened? They scatter. The speed at which they scatter cannot be recorded. I mean, like lightning, they just scatter. But whilst they were in darkness and no light was on them, what happens? They were empowered, emboldened, okay? And they have confidence in doing what they were doing until a light is thrown on them. Satan never wants light to be thrown on him. The only way to defeat him is to throw light on him, because he lives in darkness. So you throw light on him. How do I do that? By exposing his works. If Satan calls you to steal, come and tell everybody, I stole yesterday. The money that got missing, I took it. And I'm sorry, this is the money. Now, if you disgrace Satan this way, you think tomorrow he will tempt you like that again? Amen. Now, let me show you. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, 11. Now look at the Bible say, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship, but rather do what? Reprove them. Now give me another translation. Give me the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version. It said, take no part and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead, let your life be so in contrast as to expose. You see them expose and reprove and convict them. Expose. So you want to walk in the spirit, learn to expose the work of darkness. Even the things that you did, that is a work of darkness. Don't hide it. When you hide your sin, you can't walk in the spirit. When you fall in temptation, tell your friends. The Bible says, confess yourself one to another so that you'll be healed. Is that what the Bible says? Yes, you expose it. If you keep disgracing Satan, you will say, you'll be free. I mean, if I tempt him now, tomorrow you go and announce it. Let us not use him again. Expose him. Don't fellowship with darkness. You are a human being, you'll be tempted. In case you fall into temptation, don't cover it. Expose it. Look for somebody. Tell him, I did this yesterday. Pray with me. The money that they've been looking for, and it ended up in my pocket. I didn't know. Tell them. I took it. If you get some slap, that is the consequence of your sin. Sin has consequences, but you are free. They may slap you, but your soul is free from demonic chains. Sometimes they may slap you, sometimes they may not slap you. It depends on your lot. Amen. Sometimes you may receive some slap. You stole somebody's goods. You go back to the person and say, look, brother, I am the one who took the thing you have been looking for. I'm sorry. I've spent half of it, but take the half. I'll pay. It looks ridiculous, but you know what you are doing? You are exposing darkness. Once you do that, it will be easy for you to walk in the light, in the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. I hope you have been blessed tonight with these teachings. Okay, so we've just introduced the subject tonight, and by the grace of God, we'll continue it with it next week. Don't forget, we are talking about walking in the spirit. By the time we finish, you will learn the easy way to walk in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is the dwelling place of the saints. It's the dwelling place of the saints. That is where you've been created to be. That dwelleth in the secret place, we must dwell there. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's take some two questions. Amen. I this is the best part. Question time is my best part, because it is through the asking of questions that you learn new things. Amen. So if you have a question, you can raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. Two questions. Okay, first person, give it to Brother Innocent.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Daddy, please, I want to know the difference between confessing your sin before God. And once you were ministering, you said confessing your sins to one another.
That you may be healed.
That you may be healed.
That is scripture. I'm not the one who said it.
Yes.
Okay.
By you confessing before the Lord, is that not enough? Because sometimes you may tell a friend, it all depends on the it depends on the sin. There are situations whereby you may
maybe know, everybody know you are a holy man of God in the house. Hello. And then, is that not what you are trying to tell me? Maybe everybody know, but I know send the holiest person. Okay, continue. Yeah.
Oh, so I want to know if maybe you confessing your sin before God, is that not okay?
Good. Now listen carefully. We are learning, aren't we? Good. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you to confess to another person. So my answer to this question is, be led by the Spirit. Amen. Just be led by the Spirit. Listen to your spirit, because sometimes certain kind of sins you need to tell somebody to be free. Not every sin. Certain kind of sins. Okay. James chapter 5. Give me the book of James. Is it verse 17? Give me from verse 16 down. Let's see. The book of James 5. Yes, look at it. Look at it now. Confess
to one another. Is it there in your Bible? Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. Now, let's take it one by one. What are we supposed to confess? Number one, your what? Slips. Number two, your false steps. Number three, your offenses. And number four, your sins. Why? And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored. So you see now, so the reason why you are confessing is not just to let the people know what you have done, but because you must be healed and restored. There's a kind of healing and restoration that must come by somebody praying for you, for what you have done. Have you understand that? Of course, if the person you will confess your sins to, you should be led. You should know who the person is. Know the person. Know whether the person have an okra mouth or his mouth has cut straight. Look at the people. Analyze them. Amen. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Are you listening? Praise the name of the Lord. And then he said what? So that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Because sometimes you may confess to God, but there is a bombardment. How many of you have experienced that bombardment in your mind and in your heart, and you need a brother to tell you, it is well, brother, let us pray, and then pray for you. Immediately you experience peace and restoration. That is the reason. Not because God wants you to go and disgrace yourself. He wants you to disgrace the devil so you can be restored and have peace of mind. Amen. Is that clear now? Good. Yeah, okay.
Should there be a particular person you should be confessing to? Like the Catholic people?
Okay.
Go to the priest and
if you have one person you'll be confessing to, the person will get fed up. It will get fed up. You'll be led. There are a lot of people that the Lord Holy Spirit can lead you to. Maybe, who knows, maybe it can be your leader, it can be your pastor. The Holy Spirit can lead you to somebody. Somebody may say something that will prompt you to say, oh, this thing you are talking about, I fell victim to it. And then because he is under the anointing, at that time he can pray for you and you'll be fine. So you must be led by the Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'll come back to you, innocent. Your final question. Yes.
Daddy, please, for instance, if let's say A sinned.
Who?
Let me say A sinned. Okay, let's say Kojo sinned.
Okay, Kojo sinned.
Yes.
Okay.
Can there be a situation whereby maybe B can intercede on behalf of A, but A not confessing it, but his sins will be forgiven?
Now, let's go back again. Let me see if I got you right. Kojo sinned.
Yes.
And then what?
B interceded for.
How did B got to know that Kojo have sinned?
Okay.
You say, okay, you are okaying yourself.
Okay, maybe by
revelation.
Examination. Maybe assessment.
There's no gift like suspicion in the Bible. We don't have the gift of suspicion. Discerning of the spirit is not suspicious spirit. So, the person...
Okay, so what if it is by revelation?
So, if by revelation, what?
If by revelation, and maybe he interceded, but Kojo didn't confess that sin.
Yes. If by revelation, it is over. Once the Holy Spirit himself prompted you to confess to Kojo, he knew that Kojo is weak, he's shy, he lacks this confidence to come boldly to confess, and that will kill him. The Holy Ghost prompts you to do that. The same job will be done. Amen. Okay, yes. Yes. But I am not saying that, okay, the Holy Ghost will reveal to somebody. Hello? That's not what we are talking about here. The Bible says obedience is very important. Obedience. Confess your sins once in another. You did something that is... Now, listen carefully. How will I know that I need to confess my sin to somebody after I have confessed to God and I'm still feeling guilty and I'm still having sleepless nights and I lack peace? It's a major sign to tell you that it is not, you are not through yet. Let somebody, but the person may have a word from God that can cool you down and restore you. Okay. I've answered you. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Okay. Praise the name of the Lord. So, you see, the scriptures have all the solutions that we need. The scriptures have all the solutions. Why should a believer be born? Some of the people, There's something you do, and because you have confessed to God, but you are not sure God has forgiven you, and you are afraid to tell somebody else. You know, Satan can take advantage of your inability to confess to another person and bombard you and make you feel unworthy until he kick you out of the presence of God. How many of you know that? The same thing happened to Adam. Why did Adam run away from God's presence? Because there was nobody there who would tell him that it is well. God is not going to kill you. So he has to run away because he's afraid. You see now? So it's very important that sometimes after you've confessed and you have your peace, praise God. But if you don't have your peace of mind, pray about it and ask the Holy Ghost to lead you to whom to discuss with. Amen. And then a Christian brother, a pastor, a leader who is higher than you in the Lord or will pray with you and you'll be okay. But you must be led because there are some people, they have open mouths. You see now, if you're not careful, you're not going to leave this place. Okay. Let me give you the opportunity. Yes, our sister, then Nicholas will come in.
Daddy, please, why is it that, okay, after confessing, you believe that you are okay, but you see the images of the sins that you committed in your mind?
No, the word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut it off. Once you meet somebody you are led to somebody, and the person use the scriptures, that thing will be cut off.
I'm talking about you personally praying, uh-huh, that Father, please forgive me of this sins that I committed. But when you are there, then the images of the sins
that's what we'll be talking about. That's what we are talking about. Then you need to confess to somebody. That's what we are talking about. Okay? Then you need to confess. So, because it means that you are not restored, it means that you are not healed. So the Bible says the reason why you must confess to one another so that you'll be restored and you'll be healed. So the fact that you are still experiencing the images and things is a sign that you need to go the second step. Is that okay? Okay, Nicholas.
Yeah, I've realized that some people, they confess to other people to make them feel better of their sin. Like, you know,
and they have not repented.
Like when they go and talk to Pastor Anthony, like, the sin you've done, don't worry, it's okay. But they won't go and talk to another person who rebuke them. They'll go and talk to somebody who say, oh, don't worry, your sin is like.
So now let's look at the basis. Are we just going to talk to people for us to feel good? No. We want to go to heaven. We want to have a straight walk with God. We want to feel restored and healed. So you must be led by the Spirit. What is the result? What are you looking for? What results are you looking for? I don't want any break in my relationship with God. So I need to restore my relationship by all means with the Father. So that is the reason. That's the basis why I need to be healed so I can continue my walk with God. Is that okay? That is the reason. Not because I want to just voice it out and feel good and appease my whatever, my motives or my mind. No, I just want to be healed. I want to be restored. And until I'm restored and I'm healed, I won't stop. Is that okay? Praise the name of the Lord. We have just started the teachings on walking in the spirit. By the time we finish, you'll discover that walking in the Spirit is easier than you believe. It's easier. It is nothing like floating in the air. Is that okay? It is just yielding to the Holy Ghost. Allow him to guide you and to control you. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. I want you to be on your feet. Be on your feet right now and lift up your two hands to him.
Thank you for joining me. I know you are blessed. This is the War Room Youth Ministry, headed by St. Nicholas Doko. As a people, we are committed to reaching our world with the word of the Lord and making disciples who are dangerously on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Kindly follow us on our various socials and get interactive in our various war rooms. Until we meet again, Shalom.